New podcast, Stash Weekly. Thanks for joining.
Shut up and sit down.
We're going to do some jazzercise that'll keep you fit and smiling, sure. Come on and shake that cute little booty of yours. Ow! You gotta get up and boogie with this, honey. Yeah.
You think you're alive, but have you ever been for a ride on my bike?
To move your boogie body, come on and shake those hips.
You are listening to the Dialed Podcast with Matt Legrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Der Ulm. Richard Simmons once said everyone in this world is somehow connected, so why not just be nice to everybody? Preach on, Richard.
Flying at the speed of light. The
front, back, push it, pull it, yeah! Come on, find your pelvis. I know you've got one, and it's okay to move it, for heaven's sake. Yes! Here's a little coffee break for you. And something that's great for those thighs as well. Good to the very last drink.
Hi, welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I'm Jake Vondering. I'm here with Lance Hepler.
Guys, have you guys forgotten about our Disney sponsorship?
We're
a clean podcast. We're supposed to be clean, family friendly.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I'm here with
Lance Friggin' Hepler. Welcome to the show.
In studio.
Actually, in studio, in Vancouver, Washington, or Camas, or wherever we are.
We don't know where we are. Sometimes it's hard for you, isn't it?
I'm confused. I have to look at. I have to open my map app to see where I'm at when I wake up in the morning. Yeah,
that's a good problem to have.
So Lance is right. Matt f***ing LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys look fan. Fantastic.
Yes, we do.
Damn it, Disney. Damn it.
We lost it.
All right.
I thought Disney was like more open to new stuff and things now.
They're doing rated R movies now.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So that's huge for us. It's slide right in there.
So it's okay for us.
That's important for our podcast sponsorship. So,
hey, let's backpedal.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I don't care. I've been swimming and running. I ran 5 miles yesterday.
What?
I know, it's like a marathon for me.
How'd it feel? Felt okay?
Fourth mile, I think, was 7:07. It's like hot pace for me. It's slower than my old slow pace.
What would happen if you and I tried to keep up with Matt on his little slothy pace?
I still wouldn't be able to do it.
You guys would probably be fine.
It'd be 200 meters in like, this is stupid.
The nuts and bolts are flying off and things are seizing up. Yeah, that would be an ugly sight.
I have not biked much this week. I probably got on the indoor bike trainer once or twice, but not much. So running and swimming a lot, but not biking enough. So that's me. That's my week.
You're going to fix that?
You know what? I'm every time I get an alert for like, oh, Tuesday Dialed Team is riding, or Thursday Dialed Team is riding, I'm always like, I could do that. And then family, kids, craziness. At 6:30 is a tricky time because of like swim practices and all that stuff. So I miss it like every time. But I think one of those I'm going to catch.
Can I hire you to come out and hold my hand possibly this next coming weekend to go for
it'll cost you.
Okay, that's fine.
It's going to cost you a lot.
Name your price and you can come hold my hand and push me up the hills.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Yeah, I'm going to have to go out and test some things out, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll go real quick. I did nothing. Went to the gym. All right.
How was the gym? How's the gym going?
Good. Yeah, doing my normal 4 days a week and still getting strong. I'm going to have to, if I ever get back into this whole bike riding thing, I'm going to have to, rethink that because I...
Rethink the lifting?
Yeah, I'm just putting on too much size. Like, I can feel like my shoulders and my chest and my back and my arms are like, when you and I went on our ride, was it like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
A couple weeks ago.
I put on my kit and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. Like, just trying to get it over my arms and my shoulders. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to go size up. It's just not going to work. But
I think I'm going to have to like size up. Well, I don't know. I'm actually losing weight and I can talk about that. I'm testing some stuff and lost a couple pounds. I'm like, So January 1st, did the standard January 1st thing. This can be part of my backpedal. January 1st, did the standard January 1st thing. I was like, I'm going to stop drinking or whatever, take a break. Usually that's 5 pounds, bam, just like right off the bat.
Yeah.
Nothing. It did not budge.
That's metabolism.
All like, the way. It's like you're getting old and it sucks.
No, it's the donuts, man.
It's also the donuts. Well, and I was eating pretty decent, right? And so that was January. And then February, at the end of February, I told Kristen, I've lost. I was like, how much do you think I've lost? And she's like, I don't know, like seven, 8 pounds. She's like, you've been eating, you know, been pretty good for the past 2 months. I was like, 1 pound. I lost 1 pound, Kristen. So now I'm testing this CGM, continuous glucose monitor, and I've lost like another 4 pounds, like in a week or something. Not a week, but like we'll say a week.
Is it just really helping you better manage like your insulin levels so that you can figure out what you're eating and you're staying away from other
and it's basically like stuff? And everything is basically off limits. So there you go.
So you have to.
It's like you can eat. You cannot. You're not allowed to eat.
So what happens? Do you have like some electrodes hooked up to your testicles that shock you when you're trying to like eat so, something bad? Like, you son of a biscuit eater.
Stop eating biscuits.
It's
very close to that. But yeah, any carbs or anything like that seems to be a trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty much any food, really. But it's actually interesting. Like, I thought wine would be a bigger kicker, and it wasn't. It's just weird how, and like, even like ice cream, stuff like that, like isn't spiking it all that much. But like, I had an English muffin one morning and it was like through the roof. I was like, damn, like so there's all these things. I'm like, you. So I've got this like standard thing that I've been eating, which is like lentils and vegetables. And I'm like, I even had that for like breakfast today. And even that spiked it a little bit. I'm like, I can't eat anything. Just don't eat. Like, you're just screwed. I was looking around the house. I was like, I can't think of anything for breakfast to eat.
Kind of like a paleo-ish kind of a diet kind of a thing? Or more of like a Mediterranean minus the carbs plus wine?
I'm not drinking that much wine. I had in the past week and a half, I think I've had probably 2 glasses of wine or something like that. So not a lot. But like, I'm just trying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the first day it was like beer and French fries and like this fried chicken sandwich
party.
And it was just like insane spike. And I was like,
even the beer hitting hard too.
I don't know if the beer actually, it's not even the beer. I think it was the French fries.
French fries, yeah.
And so it's just like all these things. I was like, I gotta be careful because you just shouldn't have like these huge spikes all over the place. You should try to level things off.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise should level things out too, but I exercise I'm not changing my exercise all that much. So it's just the fact that like all food is off limits basically that's screwing me over. So anyway, part of my back pedal, and life sucks. Getting old is no fun.
Metabolism.
I do not recommend getting old to people.
I feel you.
Yeah. And I'm curious. I would love to see it on other people. Like, I think, like Kristen, my wife, I think she's just like flatline. Like nothing probably affects her. I don't know for sure. But like, I just imagine. The other thing is like my average glucose numbers were higher when I first started. And even after the first week, those numbers just like, they dropped. So I think it's probably good for me to have this instant feedback of like, you can literally just sit here and just stare at your numbers. Like, where are they?
Yeah.
I'm at 91 right now.
Yeah. Like, my wife did it for 2 or 3 weeks.
And did she?
Every time it fell below a certain number, it would like send a push notification to her phone and it pops up. Or,
it's an alert.
And the same thing, if it's too high, it's just saying, hey, you're too high. Stop doing what you're doing. And it actually helped her kind of figure some things out. She was working on a couple of things, trying to, you know, get sorted things out with her doctor. And it's a good little indicator for her.
I know. So what's interesting is it used to be that that these products were, you know, you had to see your doctor to do all this stuff. And I think very recently in the U.S., it's different by country. Like in Europe, I think it's their fair game. You can buy them or whatever. But in the U.S., it's just becoming legal for people to use them for like athletics. Like we talk about this a lot with athletics, right? Where like cyclists use this and they're trying to keep themselves from bonking and stuff like that. And that's probably the way that the angle that I'll take for the review. But I've got to add on to it the fact that like, oh, this will really kind of keep you in check on like what you should and shouldn't potentially eat to avoid spikes. But anyway, interesting product. But it is a little pricey.
Did they reach out to you or did you just purchase it yourself or how did that work out?
They reached out to me and it's a company that I've worked with before. It's like this company, Ultra Human.
I think they have
this like ring. You probably heard it from like my videos. So they have a ring that's like an Aura competitor. And so that's what I reviewed for them first. And then they actually had this blood glucose monitor before that. And all of these companies, like Super Sapien is the one that's kind of popular for athletics. There are quite a few of them now that are like doing things to the general public to kind of, you can watch your glucose. But so there's maybe three or four companies that people should consider, but they're all just now kind of being like, okay, we've got the green light for the United States now because we've been active in Europe and places like that. Super Sapiens shut down.
That's what I heard. I was going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I want to say 1 week ago.
Yeah. Like they went out of business.
Yeah. I think they're pivoting. I think they're basically shutting down Super Sapiens as it is, and they might be calling themselves Super Sapiens Diabetes or something. Like they're
going the medical route and going away from athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that they basically said like, hey, if you want to have your data, you need to get it out of our system.
Interesting.
So sounds like they're pretty donezo.
Hmm. Well, Super Sapiens terminates all memberships amid strategic restructuring.
Right. So I'm guessing the funding is pulled or maybe their, you know, funding is shifting. So it's kind of weird. It's a weird market for sure. And Super Sapiens was like one of the few companies that was actually really targeting athletics.
Yeah.
And Ultrahuman, I think, is kind of too, but Ultrahuman is just trying to be like, be healthier in general for everything. There's another company called Levels, I think would be another really good competitor for people to check out if they want to check this stuff out. But all of these companies are using the medical devices and they're selling software on top of them. Hmm. So in this case, it's the Free Libre 3, like blood glucose monitor, and then they sell software on top of that.
Yeah.
And then
is it connected to your arm?
Yeah.
You got a disc on your arm?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, okay. I should take off my sweatshirt. But then you actually get two different pieces of software. You have the Free Libre software system, which is going to be the most like active, right? And then you have the Ultrahuman, where you can kind of dive into more details and you can kind of see different things. So it's software built on top of a medical system.
Then
the other companies are all the exact same way. Like Super Sapiens, I think, uses the same blood glucose monitor. And then another company, Levels, you'd have a choice between the Dexcom and then the Free Libre. There's basically two big giants of these blood glucose monitors. They're all targeting. All of these have always been available for diabetics. And that's really the market that they should be available for. It's a little sketchy when everyone else gets involved because you don't want to raise the price for these products to people that really need them, i.e. like people that their life depends on these products.
Diabetics.
So I don't think that it necessarily will, but they're going to sell a lot of these things.
Wow.
So just out of curiosity, if you're okay with sharing this, what's the cost?
How does that break? Okay, so for this company, Ultrahuman, it's basically $300 for a month, and you get discounts if you buy like a 3 month or a 6 month or a year long whatever program for it. And when you get it, you get this box and it says like Ultrahuman, blah blah blah. But then you look inside of it is the Free Libre box. Like it's literally there's no like we're trying to be sneaky reselling some other company's things. Like it's like you open up the Ultrahuman box and it's the Free Libre box.
Oh,
then you open that one again. Because those have expiration dates and stuff like that. It's like medical stuff. And then you take the glucose monitor and you like shoot it onto your arm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little like snap thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it goes into your skin. It's not that comfortable, but
yeah,
it's super interesting. I think the way that my review will go, I've got basically two of them and they're, you know, 15 days each. So after a month, I'll come up with my video. And I think what I'm generally going to say is like, yeah, everyone should try this for a month and just get their numbers and get like a feel for what affects them. And then people that are maybe sensitive like me to a lot of stuff, like maybe consider doing it more frequently than that. I don't know if I would want to pay I don't want to pay that much money, to be honest.
Yeah.
But maybe once a year or something like that, I should do it for a month. I don't know.
Is there any way to get your medical insurance involved?
Yes.
Okay.
So as soon as you get your doctor involved, they could write, you know, they could write a script for you to do this and then insurance would cover it.
Okay.
Theoretically. Each insurance company, I'm sure, has their own rules on where you are and things like that. If you're pre-diabetic, you might more easily get something like this or I don't know, family history. I don't know where the rules would lie. They may say, like, your insurance might say, like, if you are not diabetic, you do not qualify for this product.
I wish there's some way to better put this under, like, just preventative maintenance kind of stuff so that you're enabling people, you're empowering them to stay healthier. Because in the long run, this can be less expensive for everybody.
That's the thing is, like, I hate the fact that it's like, oh, no, I got to be diabetic before I'm going to change things. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, you know,
yeah.
United States medical insurance. Whatever.
Ooh,
medical system's a mess. Okay, that was a very long back pedal.
Fun. It's interesting though.
Yeah. It's I'm loving this. I really am loving it. I just don't love the price tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
300 bones.
The data is great. The data is great.
The data is great. Yeah. And it's like such an instant feedback. It's not even instant. It's like 30 minutes later, but it's instant enough that it's like changing habits immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, put down the burger. Put down. Do you want to add ketchup? Yes. No.
I think while you were telling us about that, Lance was online ordering one. So it'll probably be here, what, tomorrow?
I'm hoping to get a discount code for people too.
Oh, that would be sweet.
I know. It's not going to save much. $10, 10% maybe. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Something. See what I can get.
Cool. Lance Hepler.
Yo, yes. I just spent another wonderful week in Arizona. The weather was just fantastic.
It looked like you found some people to ride with.
Yeah, I rode. Well, I know some people in Tucson.
You're getting popular. Well,
Gary Allen's down there, and he used to live here, and so he has moved down there. So he's somebody that I can ride with down there quite a bit. And then I've just met people and raced with people. You go to races, you start talking to people. I'm not really shy, and you're so
a little bit on the shy side. It's so hard when you're brand new and you don't know anyone.
Right.
It's easier when you know like one or two people, and you guys all start talking, and other people come in, and you introduce yourself. That's I don't know.
But like these two guys that I've been riding with in Tucson, I spent like 4 days in Tucson. It was fantastic. The weather was great.
Do you think you prefer Tucson to the Phoenix area? Because you spent a lot of time in like Mesa.
I have driveways that I can poach in Mesa, which is why I go to Phoenix. But the riding and the riding partners are better in Tucson.
Ooh, bold move. Hopefully they don't listen to our podcast.
Probably not. But I rode with Gary Allen and his buddy Chris Gould, and one of these days I came out and I'm like, hey guys, I really don't want to mess up today's ride, but I have four sweet spot sets I need to do with like hard starts and like hard finishes. It was a specific workout I was doing, and they're like, yeah, no problem. He just like took us on a route that we could manage to do it. And
that's cool.
And they just sat on my wheel for the whole. The intervals were interesting because it was a hard start for 30 seconds and then hold sweet spot for 8 minutes and then full out sprint at the end of the sweet spot, which made it kind of fun.
Ouch.
And so they would sit on my wheel until I flicked both my elbows up and then it was like full sprint, all three of us, you know, every 8 minutes. And we did that four times. And it was really cool that they just kind of cruised along with me and we kind of had a good time. So that was great. I ended up going to a business meeting in Scottsdale. I actually met John Dobbs, former Major League Baseball player.
I recognize that name.
Yeah, he won a World Series with the Philadelphia Phillies and played for the Mariners for several years, in the mid-2000s. So that was cool. Also met Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the quarterback. Journeyman quarterback who played for like nine different teams and went to Harvard. He's both those guys are also invested in the same fund that I'm invested in.
Uh-huh.
And so we were all at the same meeting, and so I got to meet some of those guys. Plus, Michael Lewis, who is the author that wrote The Blind Side and The Big Short.
Oh, wow.
And Moneyball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wrote all three of those books that the movies were end up made about. And so
he cashed in.
He was super interesting to listen to.
Was he a speaker there?
Yeah, he spoke. But yeah, pretty cool. He just like spent a year with Sam Brinkman. Fried, the guy who started the FTX currency exchange that ended up being a full-on...
Yeah.
It all fell apart, and it was kind of... And he's in jail right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's in jail. He spent a year with him?
He spent a year following him around.
So he's writing a book?
So, there's
that's going to be an interesting book.
Yeah. Wow. And his buddy Ron Howard, the director, already said, hey, I want to direct the movie, so...
He's like, get that book out.
Yeah, that should be pretty interesting.
There are some interesting cats that are involved in that little circle.
I'm
really curious to see what this movie is about, or this book, or whatever it ends up being. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it was... The author, Michael Lewis, he was asked by some really wealthy guys, hey, we don't know if this Sam Brinkman, we don't know if he's like really legit or if he's crazy or if he's just autistic or if he's strange or what the deal is. Can you go hang out with him and find out? And so he spent like 3 months just following him around. He got to know him pretty well and became friends with him. And it was super, super interesting. Jeez. So anyway, that was a big disaster.
Yeah. It's perfect. I mean, he had perfect timing for that.
He started a cryptocurrency exchange and had all these people dumped a whole bunch of money into it, and then the exchange fell apart, and so the money just disappeared.
Well, he was also borrowing money from that.
Correct.
Yeah, so yeah. That's the problem.
It was lots of money going lots of different directions.
It would be
fine.
That guy.
It'd be fine if he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah. But it didn't work out. Anyway, sorry. I'm getting way off topic because I met some really cool people out there. From there, I did end up doing the Cactus Cup mountain bike race in the Scottsdale area.
Yeah, I saw that.
So at McDowell Mountain Park.
Got on the podium?
Kind of. So it's a huge friggin' race.
Huge.
It kind of blew me away.
Maybe it was the next race or something?
There was like 1,000 people at the race.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest mountain bike races in the country, it seems like. There were so many people there. Every category had big category. My age group had 80 people in it. And I was doing the 40-mile cross-country race.
That's so large.
And we had 80 people in my age group. And so, dude. And there was also a 25-mile cross-country race. And my age group had like 70 people in that. So tons and tons of people there. So pretty crazy. Yeah, big hitters, super fast guys. I ended up eighth in my age group.
That's pretty good. Out of 80.
Eighth
out of 80. That's good.
Something like that. So not too bad. So I was happy and excited about that, which is kind of funny. There's this one part. You'd like this, Matt. Our wave, we started the first... It's complicated. The Cactus Cup is actually a three-day event. I only did the cross-country race part. Okay,
yeah.
There's also a time trial. There's also an enduro stage, but I was busy on both those days, so I only did the cross-country part.
Was the time trial like mountain bike time trial?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was like these three trail loops, and it was like a eight mile time trial. So everybody, you weren't racing somebody. Yeah. You were just going against the time, which was all good. But... So the first 30 in the time trial started in a separate wave in my age group instead of the all 80 of us together.
Okay.
So I was in the second wave.
Yep.
And they blow the whistle, we take off, and one other guy beat me off the line. So there's 50 of us in this group. Mm. One other guy beats me off the line, and we are following each other for like the first 6 miles, right? I'm like 10 yards behind him. I couldn't quite get on his wheel, but we like dropped everybody.
Could you see his lines?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
That's huge, right? Because you can see his lines and you can be like, yeah, that's not so good.
Yeah, and we're passing people from previous waves too.
Which is tricky.
But we came to this one spot and there's this one technical drop on the course that's like a downhill, like 4-foot ledge drop. And you can ride around it. There's like a time penalty to ride around it, or you can take the drop. And he was like 10 or 15 yards ahead of me, and he didn't know it was coming up. And I knew it was coming up. So I was like, I had pre-rode it and like...
Did you yell up?
Yeah. So he comes up to it and just like hits the brakes and is like looking over. And I'm like, I'm coming. And he steps to the side and I like just sailed off the drop and like landed and like... kept going. He went
around.
Yeah, he went around and caught me pretty fast, but it was just kind of funny that I had known that was like gonna be a tricky spot. And it took me three or four tries to get the guts to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then race day, you're like, I'm just gonna freaking go. So So I didn't crash, but which was kind of cool.
It pays to know the course.
It pays to know the course a little bit. But yeah, so I ended up eighth in my age group. What I did win was the duel in the desert, which was a combined time from the gravel race, Belgian waffle ride the weekend before, and your 40-mile time for the cross-country race the week of. So I was the fastest of the 50 to 59-year-olds by almost an hour.
Seriously. Well, how many people crossed over?
That's crazy.
There was only 10.
10 of you, so blended together, just 10 people in that age group.
Just 10 people.
Okay.
And I was 54 minutes faster than the next guy.
What'd you get?
They gave us a Pedal Industries race day bag.
Really?
Yeah. Like a custom Pedal Industries race day bag that says Duel in the Desert in their red logo. And
yeah.
Those race day bags, you know, have pockets for for a pocket for your helmet, a pocket for your shoes, a pocket for your kid, a pocket for your rain gear, a pocket for your socks.
I know Todd Brown, who's...
Yes, I emailed Todd this morning to thank him for the thing. Because he's from San Clemente, isn't he?
Yeah, Thomas said I. We used to run in the same circles, rode together. We knew each other a little bit. But we used to ride together a little bit, so...
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, small world.
Anyway, I just emailed Todd this morning. Thanks, Todd. Anyway, so we finished the race. The worst part was I finished the race like at 11:30 or something.
Uh-huh.
And the award ceremony wasn't until 4 p.m.
What?
Because there was races all day long. There were so many different races and so many people. So
can't they do podiums all throughout the day, or do they like to do them all at one time?
They like to do them all at one time. They did the pros early in the day so they could leave, but all the rest of us just,
age group or chumps.
Yep, we stuck around. So anyway, after the podium, we jumped in the van and hauled ass home. So here we are. So there's a whole bunch of things that I've been ignoring because I wanted to do these races and stay in Arizona. So here we are. Anyway, that's it. I'm back.
Yeah, bent and klootzak.
Yes. I'm a little sunburned and I've had a little too much sun.
Yeah, bent and klootzak.
I wanna do Tucson. I mean, you weren't there when Evan was there, right? Quite overlap.
We had a day that we were gonna overlap, and it was like,
text back and forth?
I texted him. I was going to come down and like ride with him just for like one day.
I'll bring the mountain bike. You guys will be on your TT bikes. So I'll be right behind you.
I'm going to be on my road bike. They're going to be on their time trial bikes. Can I actually do it? But it was the day after the Belgium Waffle Ride gravel race, which was significantly harder physically than the mountain bike race.
Yeah.
Because you're racing full gas more often. The mountain bike race, every like downhill, you're resting and cut. Anyway,
how much climbing was that on that mountain bike race, the XC race?
It was about 4,000 feet.
4,000 feet. You probably already said that. I stepped out to go grab us some drinks. No, so
I didn't say that.
Okay, well now we know.
But it was 40 miles, and I don't normally do the long distance.
No, that's
mountain
not,
bike races. Yeah. But that was the race that was included in the Duel in the Desert. So I kind of. If I wanted to do that duo thing, I had to do the 40-mile race.
What was your total time again on that?
3 hours exactly.
Oh, really? Okay, that's pretty good. So given that much elevation gain, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't do too bad. The winners were like 240, so I wasn't too far. The winners of my age group were like 240.
Did you race against that baghouse guy again? Was he in your division?
He's 49.
Oh.
And so the Belgium Waffle Ride age was 50. But the cross-country mountain bike age was 40 to 49. Yeah.
How does that work then?
They put him... So for the Duel in the Desert, he crushed me, by the way. Like, his mountain bike time, I was 3 hours. I think he was like 2:32. So like he beat me by almost half an hour on the mountain bike, which is... Now I want to see. I'm looking it up.
But I don't understand how he was in the 50 group if he's race age 49. For the Belgian Waffle Ride.
Belgian Waffle Ride, your race age is your age on December 31st.
For the year?
For the year.
So like for the mountain bike race was your active age, which you are right now.
Was your race on race
How old are you today age?
Okay. Me?
No.
Yeah, that's what mountain bike race is, how old you are today.
Is that generally how they do that? I don't know.
Every Oprah, promoter does it differently.
Yeah, I guess that's the case.
Yeah.
What does Oprah do?
Your race age is your age that you turn that year.
Okay, that makes sense because
for cyclocross, it's different for cyclocross.
Oh. Cyclocross, it's different because the season starts in one year and finishes in the next. So it's whatever your age is the next year. And Oprah just adopted that like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
whatever age is the next year.
Well, because like if you think about
it, is it for the entire next year or for
next year?
Yep,
that's weird.
It's because
let's do 5 years from now. I'll be 84 years old. I'm racing in that category.
Yeah. Well. The cyclocross generally starts in like what, October, and it finishes up in February. So
if they said at the end of the cyclocross season in February, what's your age? I'd be like, okay, well that makes sense. Like if they did any sort of logical thing, but it's like the end of the next year. Like that's
just
so on your USAC license and on your Ober license, they make it very clear on there what your cyclocross age is.
I'm glad
they
make it clear
so that you don't kind of screw it up because it's a year older than you actually are.
Yep.
So. Yeah,
that's cool. Interesting.
Well, that's fun. And
I had a good time.
How long did it take you to get home this time? Were you guys flying this time, or did you guys take your time again?
We did not take our time. We hauled, buzzed out. It's 20-hour drive from. It's 20-hour drive from Phoenix area, and yeah, we did it. And We drove.
We did it in 12.
We did it in 12. I don't know. I know that I drove until 10 p.m. two nights ago and then slept for 6 hours and then drove for 14 hours yesterday.
I don't understand how you do it. You're like the John Madden of the cycling world. You drive to everything all the time, everywhere. You know, he notoriously never took planes, and that's almost your shtick.
Except if I wish I had a tour bus where I could sit and sleep in the back while somebody drove for me. I'm driving myself.
Did Brandy log any of the hours behind the wheel?
She doesn't. She offers, but I just prefer to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I like that too sometimes.
Yeah. So I just drive. Huh. So
that's a lot of driving to do. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I was in where was I this morning? I was in Prineville this morning.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was near Bend this morning.
Wow.
So
did you ride this morning out there? No?
No. I woke up. We were on the road by like 6:40.
Are you gonna ride today?
I think so.
Just Zwift or
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
So, my van, the brakes are bad in the van. I've ruined the brakes. I gotta go get them done like right now. So I'm gonna go drop them off and then ride home from the bike.
There you go. There's your ride.
Yeah.
Weather's supposed to be ridiculous this weekend.
We look like we're gonna have great weather all this week.
Sunny
like
and 72.
Starting Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw 71 on one of the days this weekend. So, and sunny.
That's why I'm saying you're gonna come out there and hold my hand on some
bike
rides.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds great.
Put on some sunscreen and go for a ride with Mr. Matt LeGrand, whopping four or 5 miles.
Yeah, oh man. We could push it, maybe double digits. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I'm crazy. Come. Yeah, you're in. You're invited.
We've got some new demo bikes that came into the lab from Santa Cruz.
Build that electric bike.
One of them, the Heckler e-bike.
Let's build that electric.
Maybe I can go for a ride with you guys.
Yeah. Maybe I can ride with you guys.
All right, let's do this.
Champ Alley in sports.
Ooh. Champ's here. What's up, Champ?
Champ is here and knows nothing because all he did was drive his van and listen to murder podcasts. So I don't know.
Do you do like murder mystery kind of like all that stuff?
Just all true crime stuff.
True crime stuff?
Because
that's awesome.
My wife loves it. When I turn on my cycling podcast, I see her put her earphones in and I'm like, okay, we'll just listen to something bullshit. So we listen to murder.
Yeah. Good. Love it.
Anyway, sorry. Champ, step in. Champ is back.
Okay.
But he still did not watch any of the racing. He kind of knows what happened. But anyway, big week for the Americans in Paris Nice.
Yeah.
So Mateo Jorgensen from Boise, Idaho actually managed to pull out the freaking win in Paris Nice. I have no idea how it happened. How did it happen?
Took the yellow jersey off the back of another fellow American, Brandon McNulty.
Brandon McNulty had the jersey because he won the time trial, I'm guessing.
He did, and he just raced really well.
He just raced really well.
Yeah.
And isn't Brandon McNulty from Phoenix? Anyway, sorry.
Possibly, yeah.
Anyway, Mateo Jorgensen ends up winning.
Take that, Remco Evenepoel.
Remco made a worthy effort to try to win, but these boys got him, so pretty cool. So who was first? Where was Remco? Was he second or third?
I think he was like third or fourth, somewhere in there, if I'm not mistaken. You could pull up the results on that. I mean, he did win the very last stage.
Okay, Remco was second.
Was he second overall?
By 30 seconds, and then McNulty was a minute 47 back in third.
So I didn't watch the whole race. I just watched the highlights. And I pretty much, when you watch the highlights, you're watching like the last 5 minutes of the race. And he blasted off. I mean, he jumped.
Remco did.
He did. And then that's when Mateo Jorgensen like basically jumped on the Remco train and those two got away. And that was what afforded Mateo to win the overall race because he had enough of a buffer there. And I think that he did a good thing at the end because he could have gone for the stage. It would have been tough to beat Remco, but it was funny to watch him kind of lead Remco in and then Remco like just jump him at the last like 15 meters or something like that.
Right.
And just like full on sprint to the finish line and posts up and then does this little like, I'm slamming the phone down, like I'm hanging up on you all. It's like, oh, come on, man. Yeah, you won the stage and the guy lets you win it. So
it didn't end up being this duel between Roglic and Remco for
no.
It didn't.
Did Roglic end up in fourth?
Roglic ended up in 10th.
I think.
Guess who beat him?
Everybody.
Egan Bernal.
Ooh.
Yep.
Jake. Egan Bernal.
Egan Bernal. Roglic.
I think your Roglic pick is looking questionable.
My Roglic pick?
I don't know. I feel like you were talking pretty high up on him.
I think that he's at the very tail end. I think he might have one more year in him to be something special. It's still early in the year. Let's call it what it is. But
well, you're right. There's a long time before.
I just don't know if he's going to have the support that he's used to having.
I think it's a team. It's a team sport.
Yeah.
It's a big thing that we kind of overlook a lot of the time.
Yep.
Especially when some athletes can go like ride 80 miles by themselves and win classics.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
So yeah. Good for the freaking Americans. They just did fantastic. That just makes me happy. The other stage race that happened was Tirreno Adriatico, and that was basically a crush by...
What did you guys think of the new TT helmets at that race that they broke out? They're like unicorn. I mean, they're like, man, you know what's weird? Is, time trial helmets look bad. How can we make them look worse? And then someone did
they
it.
Did. They made them worse.
They did it. They were like, we can one up you.
So Jonas Vingegaard won it by almost a minute and a half over Juan Ayuso and Jai Hindley. So he kind of managed to win most of the stages,
he
too.
He looks a little bit unbeatable right now. He's riding at a whole different level than everybody else. When he decides he wants to go, he goes, and people are doing their damnedest to keep up with him just to stay on his wheel. He just rides away from him. And the next thing you know, he's like 45 seconds, minute and a half up the road. And then he just goes into full on TT mode. And he's looking pretty solid right now.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
You know, Pogacar's looking pretty solid
right
now.
It's like those two
Pogacar
again.
The field.
Again.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's going to be those two again, right?
It has to be.
It's going to be great.
There's going to be some parity here, though, because I don't know if they stay healthy. Then it's probably going to be those two. But there's a lot of teams that have got some younger riders. They have a lot of teams that have got like your Remco or not. Remco's going to look good out there.
Maybe Remco. It'll be Remco.
I'm still kind of questioning whether or not he's going to be that level of a GC like. A Grand Tour rider. You've got your Primoz Roglic, still got some bullets to fire, I think, and it's still early in the year. I mean, it's just going to be such a fun year to watch, but these two guys, they look like they're
dominant.
In a different league right now.
They need to stay healthy and not break their wrists or whatever happened last year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, it'll be fun.
Love it.
What else?
I don't know. That's it.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Cactus Cup, the Pro Men, was won by Riley Amos, and the Pro Women was won by Aaron Huck. So a couple of big names down there.
Cool.
Racing. So other than that, we did have the Shasta Gravel Hugger.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And which is like the first gravel race on their Obra event. And I think they had some big names that came there. I don't know the results.
How was their weather down there? Do you know?
It was actually sunny. It was actually sunny, I think. It was wet, but sunny. So
interesting. No snow this year?
No snow this year.
We had a teammate land on a podium. I'm not sure which race Mr. Andy was in.
Andy was in the 100 mile, the full hug, in the 50 to 59 age group, and he took third.
Second or third.
I think he took third in his age group, so good for him.
That's fantastic.
While you're looking that up, triathlon had a decent little race in Miami. There's this like... this new little circuit, this is where we need like Evan to come in and actually talk about it because he knows what he's talking about, because I barely kind of dip my toes into the news of triathlon these days. But they have this like T100 tour and, so they have races kind of all over the place. And I want to say that like it's a big payday, like $1 million payday or something like that. Like it's big. And so they've got all the big athletes are doing it. And they had their first kickoff event in Miami, and they had it at one of those like motor speedways.
Mm-hmm.
There were like big turns,
on that's
the TT
cool,
bikes
yeah.
and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. And on the guys' side, Magnus Ditlev from Germany won the guys' race. Won it on the kind of like he's a super strong cyclist, but in the swim, he was a little bit back. Caught up to the pack on the bike and then won it within the last 5K of the run against Alistair Brownlee, I think, was kind of like the last two people standing.
Oh, wow.
Then on the women's side, I have to double check and make sure I don't give any false information. India Lee, who I don't really know that well, passed Lucy Charles Barclay on the run as well to win the women's side. And the women's side's, also stacked. So good racing in Miami this past weekend.
So they're racing on a motorway. Where is the swim at? Is that in the infield of the motorway?
They have some, you know, I think it's infield. It was hard for me to tell because I saw like video footage of it, but it's hard to know because you're just looking at a body of water or whatever.
Sure.
So it kind of looked like an infield thing. It did look pretty small.
Is that a natural waterway though?
I'm sure it's gross.
That's
the water. I'm wondering. I get the gut feeling this gross and it's probably full of alligators.
Full on case of the cha-chas today.
Yeah. So they swam a lap and then they got out of the water and they got back in and they swam another one. And it's just super interesting. And the distances were kind of a little bit, they're kind of like half Ironman distances, but a little chopped down. Hmm. It was good. And I think that this is like what triathlon needs because it's like you're heavy hitters and you're getting all the best people in the world doing this thing. So super cool.
Were a lot of people there to spectate?
I don't know.
I'm just curious, like, is that a sustainable thing? If you've got a purse that's that big in a venue that's probably that expensive,
yeah,
is that a sustainable thing that you can make happen? And if you have a lot of people there watching, you know, throwing some money around, then maybe?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Cool.
Shasta Gravel Hugger results. It was won by Rob Britton. He came and showed up. He's 40 years old, former World Tour pro racer. Mm-hmm. He won over Max Rizzo, and third was Stefano Barberi, who has been racing a lot of local stuff. The women was won by Serena Gordon. Second place, Clara Hansinger.
Oh, really?
Third place, Brenna Ray Simpson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Clara got beat, huh? Kind of surprised.
She got beat, but Serena has been gravel focused for the last couple years and is really quite fast. So that's no slouch.
How was their attendance overall?
I don't know. I think it was a little better because there was no snow, but
that just tell. I mean, they probably have day of registration, maybe. But I mean, I wonder how long or how much people are holding out to see what the weather's going to look like for that particular race. I mean, it looks like you've done it and you can speak to it. It looks like a spectacular course, but personally, I don't want to go race for 100 miles in the snow, in the sloppy mud, and the conditions that are just going to be miserable.
Everything that you own gets filthy.
Yeah.
Just and filthy.
It wears on your bike, too.
It does.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but interesting. Yeah, we did have the Michael Myers Memorial Time Trial this past weekend with some results in there, too.
You probably know some results off the top of your head, Jake.
Maybe. I called every single person's name, but if you asked me to recite that again, I would not be able to
recite everyone's name.
I do know that our own Dr. Hanel, JoJo Jr. Shabadoo, raced in two different categories and won both of them.
Good.
He did win both of them?
He did. And then Paul Borsier raced in two different categories as well, and he won both of them.
He won both of them?
Yep, so I know that those guys both double-dipped. Evan Price was out there.
Did he do okay?
He raced in the 4-5 category.
Oh.
But if you wanted to compare times, Paul Borsier beat him again. Second year in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like top time of the day, basically.
Yeah. Paul had the fastest time of the day. The times were slow this year. The wind was howling.
Paul was 20 seconds faster than Evan.
Yeah, I was going to say it was close to 30 seconds, but Lance has got the numbers there because it was chip time, so that's your final number. But it was a blockhead win for sure. I know on the, because it's like you go out and you turn around and you come back in, but you finish in a different spot than you start, so it's but still relatively.
I put the drone up in the air and people were like, I can't believe you're flying that thing. I'm like, yep. It's like you're landing and it's like flying sideways. I mean, the wind was just moving crazy. All the finish stuff, all the signs all got blown over every single time. Like I went over there, picked up the finish sign because people want to see where the finish is.
Yep.
And I would like it would go down. I'd go over there, pick it back up, wait like half a second later, goes down, pick it back up, put all the weights on there. Yeah. And then,
I brought my drone out there too. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. No. I didn't, you probably had your Maverick 3 out there. I brought the Mini 4.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this thing's not going to, it could probably, but it'd probably end up.
You're like, yeah, it's going to end up in the Pacific
Ocean. Yeah, just get blown away for.
See you later, little guy.
But it was a fun day. We had a lot of good people. It rained a little bit
in the middle.
In the middle, while we were doing the awards and the raffles and all that other stuff. But then it stopped for the afternoon races, and it was the Eddie category, so that was good. And then the morning time, it was kind of a mix of clouds and sun a little bit, but it was a lot windier.
It was a weird day.
Yeah,
because it was like rainy, sunny, windy. It was just like all the things.
It was warm, it was cold. Yeah, it was like Pacific Northwest spring weather. It was very,
but it was like every 30 minutes was something different, like just different weather.
Yeah.
Chris Surratt also won his category.
Good.
So yeah, we had a pretty good little group of people that showed up. So
you know, looking at these results, what's crazy? Paul Borsier had the fastest time of the day.
Yeah,
and the fifth fastest time of the day in the Eddie category.
The afternoon, I think that the wind died down just a touch, so it wasn't quite as bad. So the Eddie category, I think, was still a little bit slower on the whole because of the wind, but mm-hmm. I think that it wasn't quite as bad as it was in the morning.
But are you saying his Eddie time was fifth?
Overall.
His Eddie time was fifth overall.
Oh, wow.
And then on his time trial bike was the fastest. Wow. Yeah. And he was like a minute and a half slower on his road bike.
That's How old is Paul again?
55.
Ooh.
Put it to Mr. Evan Price. I think you mentioned something about you talked with Evan.
I just texted him and teased him about getting beat by a senior citizen.
There's another professional triathlete, Simon Shee, S-H-I. Yeah, do you see his name anywhere?
Yeah.
How did he do? Was he in the top 10 or whatever?
He was third.
Third? Okay.
He's
one of Evan's buddies. He just moved into the area, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he wants to come do stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, he was third overall, third fastest time. Chris Hanel, fourth fastest time.
Oh, good. Good for Dr. Hanel.
Wow.
Yeah.
The guy's timeless. He and Paul, they're both timeless, ageless. They just,
Just,
I don't know, fine magic. Wines right there. Yeah, they just keep flying. Cool beans. Hey, do you want to jump into our topic for the day?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah?
Champ out.
Champ out.
Bailey.
Champ. Champ forgot to leave.
Hey, how do you guys clean your stuff? Your parts and your things?
We don't.
You
don't? We don't.
With the Brillo pad and a pressure washer. No. I just jump into the pool fully kitted. That's fully good kitted? Enough. I ride my bike into the pool and then scrub it down. No, I don't.
It's that time of year where everybody's kind of busting things out, and a lot of people are going out and riding their bikes and doing all the things, and the weather can be a little bit all over the place. Mm-hmm. But there's just hygiene across the board, whether it be bike, whether it be your kit, whether it be yourself, whether it be your twig and your berries, whatever it might be. You got to make sure that you're keeping your stuff like clean. And
hygiene is a problem at the LeGrand house.
Is it, Ralph?
Well,
too many boys running around.
A lot of boys.
Kristen just threw her hands up in the air and she's like, I'm done. I'm over this.
She's like, I don't care.
Take the locker room into the other room.
She's like, you guys are, the garage is yours. I give up.
This is an easy one to talk about. A lot of people know stuff, but there's a lot of little things out there that people just don't know. Or you know, we're all at some point in time new to this sport, and you don't know what you don't know. I know for me personally, it was like not last year, but maybe the year before, there was something that I discovered that I was doing wrong, and I looked like Cujo butt, and I learned how to better wash my kids. So
let's start.
Here's what we should do. We should start at the top, like your helmet, because people forget that you do have to clean your helmet.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the thing.
How do you wash your helmet?
Jake's advice is to just take it into the shower with you.
You take it in the shower and you use your shampoo. Done.
I have never done that once.
Done.
Guess how many times I've washed my helmet?
Once.
None. And Lance sweats like a pig, and that thing smells like a dead animal.
No, I dip it in the pool.
Yeah. Chlorine probably helps.
I do dip it in the pool because the straps get all salt crusted on mine. So I dip my helmet in the pool and I'll wipe it down. But that's about the only way I clean my helmet. The better thing would be taking it in the shower.
So I don't know how the chlorine
probably help.
But is that going to cause
corrode
the helmet itself? Anything you don't want to break
Velcro
down the...
Look, I'm going to bounce my head off the pavement and ruin the helmet
probably
ten times before it's going to corrode from salt.
Yeah,
you do crash.
I was going to ask you why you're missing skin on your knee.
Oh,
you never mentioned that in the back pedal.
It was during the pre-ride. I was testing the limits of my new gravel tires, and I found them.
Okay, good.
I was pre-riding the nasty parts of the gravel race. Man. I wanted to see how they were, and I had too much air pressure, and I washed out. It's just skin. I just ripped the skin off my knee for the 48th time.
For the fun of it.
Anyway.
But the shampoo or the soaps that you're using on your body are not going to be nearly as aggressive towards your helmet. Your helmet's going to last longer, and you get to, you know, have it come out smelling all nice.
Smelling
that would be better than the chlorine that I'm using.
No. So that's the first
thing. Okay, let's work our way down. Like, let's talk about the jersey kit.
So the whole kit.
We have, well, for the most part, I did this for a long time, and I just started getting lazy, and I just, like, we've got a big, giant bag of, like, workout stuff well, at least when I used to ride bikes back in the day, and I would just do the laundry, like probably because when I used to ride, when I was riding frequently, it was ride 5, 6, 7 times a week. So you're going through kits, and obviously you don't want to wear a kit twice because that's just disgusting and
it's
you
nasty.
Stink. And that's a good way to keep people off your wheel.
Unless
but we would wash it. And there was this. Oh gosh, I should probably go grab it real quick just to know what it is. But it's a special detergent that's made specifically for activewear, so that it doesn't like bind up there. You don't want to use things like fabric softener because that will actually. Right. Cause like it to bind up in there, and it loses its wicking properties to pull the sweat away from you, and it will actually kind of cause your kit to get a little bit dingy. So we used a special specific cleaner, this granular cleaner that we would put in there, and it worked really well. I sometimes though would wonder if it was washing it good enough, but I don't know. I never really had issues with it per se. But it worked fine. But then I for whatever reason, just started getting lazy. I think we ran out of it once. And so I just threw like a Tide Pod in there and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, that worked fine. And it actually smells a little bit nicer. So I'll just roll with that. The thing that I didn't realize is that, again, the detergents will all bind to your kit. You don't realize it, but they bind to your kit. And the way that I discovered this is when we would go out and do a very wet ride in the rain.
Suds up.
No joke. It was
the
like
chamois. Chamois suds up.
You've got this big, suds coming off
foam
of your butt, and it's
suds butt,
and like
that's
and,
a photo. That's a beautiful photo, Lance. You guys are knocking the foam butt.
I've got some because I had the 360 camera on there for a ride that we did once. But you've got it's suds like, flying
got
off
some
of your
bad stuff going on down there.
I'd be thinking a fungus from down on.
I'd be thinking it was like some sort of bad diarrhea thing going on. Like, oh
yeah. But sub bubbles flying off hit people in the face that are coming off of your butt.
I would not be on your wheel.
Well, I remember one of the very first times I rode with Michael Myers. Back in the day, we would go out and do these training rides. And I remember one time we rode all the way out to Kelly Hill, and we were coming back and it starts pouring rain. And all of a sudden the suds are coming up on his kit. And I'm thinking, this guy, at the time I knew him, but I didn't know him well. I'm like, this guy looks like he's pissing in his kit right now. And is that urine? Is that what, how, because it kind of had like a yellow hue to it. And, well, it turned out it was his detergent. I never asked him about it. I never said anything because I didn't have the cojones to like bring it up to him. Like, dude, why do you got foam coming off of your butt? But looking back now that I went through the same thing was that. So I guess the moral of the story is use specific cleaners that are made specifically for activewear that are going to be good about getting rid of like bacteria and stuff like that, because you don't want to have that kind of stuff build up in your chamois. That's not good.
You definitely don't want to not wash your chamois. That's
you need to wash that.
That's a recipe for something bad.
I undress in front of the washing machine.
Me too.
So yeah, I finish my ride.
That washing machine's seen some things.
It's seen some things. So I walk straight down to my basement where our washing machine is. I take my kit off and put it into the washing machine directly off my body. I throw whatever else looks like activewear that's in the piles of dirty laundry in the laundry room in with it. And I always wash it on
delicate.
On delicate or the we have an activewear.
Oh, okay.
We have an activewear setting, and I only use half the amount of detergent. I don't use the special stuff that you've used. I use half the amount of detergent.
Okay.
And then I don't dry it in the dryer unless I'm in a major hurry. I hang up all my kit to dry.
I think that's the key to keeping the chamois itself from getting all mangled. I think the dryer is the killer.
Yeah, I do use the dryer, but I use it on the air dry, not the heated dry, so that it kind of helps the process along.
I don't mind the jersey part itself getting in the dryer because I feel like that holds up a lot better than something like the chamois. It's just, I don't know.
If your chamois gets like folded or mussed
something
up,
like that,
it's done.
Forget it.
Toss it.
Yep.
And freaking good chamois bib shorts are like almost $200. So.
I know.
They're not cheap.
Yeah.
I know. I save those and I'm like, you're for the short indoor rides, the messed up chamois ride. Even those, you're like, damn it, I hate this ride.
Real quick, we don't really need to get into this one, but sunglasses. Do you guys rinse yours off? I'm sure they get like, sweat in there and road grime and all that other stuff. So just running around the faucet generally works pretty well. But have you guys ever tried putting Rain-X on your glasses for when it's raining outside? Does that work?
I have tried.
I have.
It does not last very long.
Okay.
But in a race situation,
it's
not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. But I found that even if it's really raining and you've got freshly applied Rain-X, it doesn't. You're not going fast enough usually to have it all blow off. Mm. So you end up wiping
the lenses and pretty, you
know. Then you're smearing it.
And then you're smearing it. And the Rain-X leaves a little bit of a film, which makes things look just a little bit different.
Okay.
And so if you're not used to that, it's crazy. So I've only done it once or twice and then said it wasn't worth it.
So I've only done it on like the TT visor.
Oh, yeah.
And those things are big and they can fog up and stuff. And so they have like anti-fog and then Rain-X stuff. It's like the same company as Rain-X. But like that's pretty helpful. Hmm. So not that our listeners are, you know, into TT visors, but if they are,
did you do that when you're riding on the road, Lance, or was that just off-road stuff that you were using it for?
It was on the road.
On the road? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was in a race situation where it was raining, and I knew.
What race was it?
I don't remember.
No?
No.
And then for sunglasses, I just use like regular, like whatever soap is at the sink and a little bit of water to get, because like whatever, it's oily, sweaty stuff that's griming up the.
I don't ever use soap. I just
use water.
I just rinse them off. Or I just.
Yeah. Mine are gross. I think I'm a oily sweater. Maybe. Because, like, after every ride, I'm like, you know, I put them down or whatever, take off all my stuff. And the next time I, like, throw them on, and I'm like, crap, I got to clean these before I go for a ride. Like, every ride.
Oh.
It's bad.
Yeah. Interesting.
I wish that's not the case.
All right. Moving right along. Do you want to talk about all things kit, or do you think that what we talked about was enough?
Heart rate strap?
Oh, your heart rate strap.
Heart rate strap.
A lot of people don't realize, especially the Garmin ones. I'm not 100% sure on the Wahoo, but it's probably the same thing. They recommend that you wash just the strap. You got to take the little heart rate monitor clips off. Some of the newer ones have them on there, but they want you to wash your heart rate monitor once a week. Did you know that?
Once every five wears or something like that. But yeah, same thing. And same thing, I'd suggest people just wear it into the shower.
Yeah. That works just as fine, too, because that sweat will, you know, be corrosive and it'll cause you to have to buy a new one pretty soon.
It's probably another thing that you should not run through the dryer.
Nope.
Because it's, yeah.
I've done it accidentally a couple times. It fared well, but again, would not recommend it.
Well, and some of the heart rate straps can like pop and come off like the computer part, and then you can just wash the straps. And then in that case, it's probably a little bit better. But then a lot of the newer ones, it's kind of like built into the strap.
Yep, like the Pro and the Pro Plus.
Yep.
I usually would try not to put it in the washer because I didn't want it to go into the dryer and I didn't want somebody to grab it and put it in there on accident. So I a lot of times would just hand wash it or take it in the shower.
Like, yeah, like hand washer. Hand washer shower.
My heart rate strap, I'm hard on heart rate straps. I go through two a year usually. Wow. Yeah.
But I've told you to go cheap on those. You got some choices.
Well, I like the Garmin one's the best one by far for
it's
me.
It's good. They make good stuff.
They make good stuff. It just lasts longest. Anyway, but I wash mine like once every 2 weeks, but I rinse it off after every ride.
Okay.
I found that by washing it like more than once a week in the washing machine, it didn't last as long. Huh. They got beat up. So I take all my kit off, but I take my heart rate monitor and rinse it and wash it under the sink and then hang it up. I don't wash it in the washing machine more than like once a month.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah, that's fine.
So,
really, they just need a rinse.
How
really.
You got your no pants name is like after you're done putting your kit in there, you just cruise around the house and make yourself a little PB&J.
I do have 20-something ladies living in my house, so I can't just walk back to my bedroom.
What's going on?
Swinging.
What's going on at your house?
Well, my daughter and my daughter-in-law live with us.
Since when?
For the last 2 years.
You guys are never there. For 2 years? I don't know. It's been 2 years.
When they graduated from college, they moved back to Vancouver. They both got full-time jobs in Vancouver.
They're saving up for a house right now.
And they're saving up for a house, and so they're living with us while they're saving for a house.
They put an offer on a house. That was a while ago.
They've made like 6 offers on houses that none of them have gone through.
Wow.
We actually don't want them to leave. They are fantastic to live with. They're adults, and they like...
It's good.
Clean up after themselves and make their own food. And we don't want to. And plus, me and Brandy take off all the time and somebody's at the house.
It's perfect, yeah.
It's nice to have someone to help.
Part of that open nest concept as opposed to an empty nest. So if you keep the nest open, they can fly back whenever they want.
Yes,
true. Yeah. Maybe. It's kind of a popular thing in this day and age with the economy being rough and people.
We are open nesters. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Moving back down to the next thing. So we discussed your kit. We touched base layers, heart rate monitor, bibs we talked about because of the chamois.
Anything else like jackets and stuff that goes over top?
So
I straight up wash my jackets with my kit.
Yeah.
I have one jacket that I've never washed before. It's a Castelli Hydra jacket. It's basically like a fitted trash bag, if you will. You could literally take a garden hose and like spray that thing at me and not a water's going to permeate it.
Yeah.
I have rinsed it off in the sink before because it had a bunch of road grime on it, but I've never once washed that. And as a matter of fact, I don't think you can, and I'd be really or bummed out if I did wash it and it get destroyed because those things are expensive, but it worked really well.
I melted one of those.
Did you really?
Yep. Oh,
those things, when they came out, were $400. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's crazy expensive, but I would definitely that would go into the sink for me. Other jackets, though, just like everything else that goes in there with them.
Gloves. What do you do with your gloves?
Same thing. Wash them just with everything else. Same.
Yeah,
however,
I think so.
Here's the thing, though. You got to be careful because if your gloves have the Velcro strap on them, that Velcro strap, if it's not perfect, that will snag your kit and it will make it look terrible. So I would either suggest washing it with something separate, or you can get like these little, almost like a garment bag that a lot of the women use them for, like their undergarments and whatnot, to put them in there, just so that like a hook on a bra or something like that doesn't, whatever. You can throw them in there and wash it that way so that it doesn't get caught on your kit, because the last thing, like you said, you don't want to be having your kit that you just paid way too much money for getting all tore up because of a set of gloves.
Yeah.
And plus, you need to wash gloves because those things will smell like dead animals, and that is not a happy time. So
also those little like skull caps and things like that, I just throw those in the wash, and those things get gross and drenched and
absolutely
sweat.
Yep. Leg warmers, arm warmers, the same thing. Yep. Socks, obviously, same thing. Here's the next one, and this is one that kind of like made me want to talk about this today because it kind of makes a lot of sense. Shoes.
So, can I talk about triathletes pissing themselves?
Yep.
Where does that urine go?
In your shoes.
But it's a sanitary, sterile thing, isn't it? No, it stinks, but it's sterile.
I threw a pair of shoes away once after a race.
If you don't, if you don't wash them right after the race, they need to be thrown away.
Really?
And
how
even
so?
Because they'll never smell the same.
Ah.
Then if you do wash them, you still might need to throw them away. They're just like peeing in your shoes is not it's not great. So triathlon.
We're talking
about
in triathlon where triathletes aren't stopping to urinate. Right. They're they're just wetting their chamois. They're just, and it runs down your leg into your shoes.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing that you swim in. It's like peeing in your swimsuit too. But I do think like any of those tri-suits, the chamois pretty thin, right? It's almost non-existent. It exists, but it barely exists. And so it doesn't hold on to water or anything like that. And so the tri-suit's fine. It's the shoes, I think, that take the brunt of the
What about the saddle? The saddle's
fine.
Does it just, doesn't soak into that at all? I mean, it's a leather saddle if it's leather.
Mine seems fine, and I've been guilty of peeing on the bike.
But when's the last time you sniffed your saddle?
I do it on the daily. I sniff my saddle every day.
You're a saddle sniffer.
I'm a huge saddle sniffer. So this morning at 6:30 a.m. got out there,
sniffed that saddle.
Just the one nostril on the left side of the saddle.
Took a hit of the saddle.
Right side of the nostril for the right side of the saddle. You gotta mix and match that way.
Boom, ready to go.
Woke me right up. Smells like urine. No, I just know that the shoe thing is just. That's where I smell, like, it just smells bad. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, going back to shoes, you need to start here first. What kind of shoe do you have? What's the material made out of? If you have a synthetic shoe, technically you could probably throw it in your washer and be okay. If you have a leather shoe or a kangaroo leather shoe or any kind of, like, animal-based, material, you can't put that in the washer. Mm-hmm. And you definitely can't put that in the dryer. I was actually speaking with the good folks at Lake Cycling, and he came in to meet with me this morning. We were chatting about shoes, and he was telling us a story about a woman who was a triathlete who urinated because she was doing a race
and
got all over her shoes. And so when she got home, she decided, well, I got to remedy this. I can't let my shoes smell like pee.
So
threw them in the washer.
Yeah.
Threw them in the dryer, and then all of a sudden there's like blisters in the
leather,
the leather itself, and then it almost like delaminated the base of the shoe, and then there's like explosions like where everything kind of pulled apart and the shoes just got destroyed. And he asked
her,
like,
probably more than anything else.
I think it's the high temperature then. Yeah. So long story short, he's like, yeah, temperature's not your friend with that kind of stuff. And if you've got a natural material like that, your best bet is just to let them air dry. He said, don't put them on a shoe dryer either. With heat. Now, if you're running just like whatever the ambient temperature is, and yeah. you're pushing air through that to help it like kind of expedite the yeah. process of drying, that's okay.
Because my shoe dryer has like heat or no heat. Yep. Yours probably does too, exactly. right? So yep. it's just like you can turn that on and just do yep. non-heat. So
you definitely don't want to run the heat. And he said that if you don't have a shoe dryer, another good thing to do is to actually stuff some newspaper in there and not to put them next to a fireplace or anything like that, because it can actually cause the heat yeah. heat can cause it to shrink. And so your shoe is not going to fit you like it used to. Some of these shoes are $300, $400, $500. And the last thing you right. want to do is like make that mistake and have it be an expensive one.
Yeah, we had a problem at training camp because a couple days we got poured rain on.
Sure.
And everybody's shoes were
everything was drenched, wet. Probably. Yeah.
And we had no shoe dryers.
Yeah.
So everybody was, we didn't have even newspaper to stuff our shoes with. So everybody was shoving paper towels in their shoes yeah. to try to get them to dry for yeah. the next day because we were...
Did anybody throw them in the dryer?
I don't think that anybody threw them in the okay. dryer.
Hopefully yeah. they didn't. Another thing that they highly recommended that you not do, which is kind of a thing, I guess I've never done this before, but don't put your shoes in your dishwasher. Don't try that either.
I've never done that.
The high temperature of the hot water in there can, yeah, again, yeah. destroy the shoe as well. So that yep. was, I don't know, it's just like, oh, you know what? That's right. I mean, I have been guilty of putting my shoes, I've got some nice shoes, and putting them on the shoe dryer.
Yeah.
And it works great, and I had the heat on.
I've done that too.
I don't know, maybe the CD shoes I had weren't a natural leather, but they didn't necessarily shrink.
I bet you that's the difference, is like the natural leather versus the synthetics mm-hmm. is probably different. Yeah. Handles the heat differently. Yeah,
he said that you can for sure, like, the synthetic stuff can definitely handle the heat stuff much better than the
And I don't think that the shoe dryers, I'm guessing that we probably have the same similar thing. They I don't think they get super hot, but I could be wrong.
No, probably like 110, yeah, 20 degrees or something like that, if that. I mean,
whereas like your dryer or your dishwasher for sure maybe would be hot, quite yeah. hot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was some good bits of information there. But you do need to clean them. And he basically said that, you know, like, let them dry and then you can just spritz some stuff on there and wipe them off and do all that fun stuff. But as for, like, the peeing part of it, I mean, I suppose you could just dunk them in some water and do some hand washing and then just let them naturally dry.
I think the key is, like, getting
water with bleach.
Getting them rinsed really quickly after the yeah. race and not being like, I took them home and now they're done. Yeah.
But that's hard to do when you're traveling with your shoes. You're at a race.
Yep.
You're putting them in a trash bag.
There's generally water around during a yeah. triathlon.
Yeah.
So,
but cyclocross, our shoes are always destroyed, filthy,
sure.
you know, muddy. And I hose them down or scrub them with brushes just like my bike. When I'm washing my bike
yep.
afterwards, I also wash my shoes, but I just take the inserts out and put them on the dryer.
Sure.
Or put them on my shoe dryer. On the little boot dryer thing.
Sure.
Yeah, that's all I've ever.
Do you take a shoe dryer with you when you're in?
No, when I get back.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do if it's raining out and you're totally soaked and you come back and you got to clean stuff off and you don't have any way of drying them? Do you just wear wet shoes the next day?
Yes.
Just suck it up, buttercup?
Yes.
That's always such a terrible feeling.
Yeah. Or I put them on in front of the vent in the van for the night.
Huh.
Yeah, so I've done that before, or like the little S bar. I got a little heater.
That thing's a flamethrower. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, so it's pretty hot. So I have to watch them, but I haven't. One of my road shoes is warped a little bit, and I think it's because I got it too hot. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
gotcha.
On one of the dryers or something.
Cool. All right, let's move on to the next thing. Shoes aside, I think that pretty much covers everything on our person. Let's get into your bike. How are you cleaning your bike these days, Mr. Lance Hepler, World Traveler?
I carry bike wash tools with me.
Yep.
So I have scrub brushes. I have brushes for the frame, brushes for my cassette, brushes for the chain.
Uh-huh.
So I put it up on a rack. I soak the whole thing down. I take some soapy water and brush and the whole frame. And then I take some like a degreaser mm-hmm. on the chain and my cassette, my drivetrain. I clean all that. Then I hose the whole thing down again.
Yep. Now, for a lot of years, you didn't have this nice little luxury, and you do have this now. When you are hosing your bike off, how would you, before you had this nice little new luxury that you have, how would you avoid your bearings in like your headset and your bottom bracket and everywhere else, like your hubs and all that stuff, from getting destroyed from the water seeping in there?
I didn't. I destroyed my bearings.
Yeah. There's no way to get around that. I mean, technically you can bounce the bike a bunch of times and you could probably take the bike apart and you can, you know, dry it off with a towel and try and get all of that stuff off there. And then also the preventative maintenance would be just to make sure there's plenty of grease on them, which, you know, yes, we know that grease is going to ward off the water. But now you have an air compressor that's built into your van, which is, yes, kind of cool. Are you using that to blow out the bearings just to get as much of that water out of there as possible?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Once I've rinsed or washed them down, then the air compressor comes out.
A lot of people do get a little bit nervous about washing their bike because they're like, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt something. Well, your bike is pretty stinking resilient, but a lot of it comes back to like, all right, is it set up to be able to like be ridden in the rain or to get right, soaked down. And again, making sure that the right kinds of grease are on the bearings and all the different like vital parts, that's super important. But you can definitely wash your bike, and that's actually a really good idea given the fact that you are going to want your bike to last. And a lot of these components that can get worn down if you don't take good proper care of them, they're expensive and they're only getting more expensive. Inflation's a mean thing. So anyway, you want to make sure that you're washing your bike. You want to keep that thing looking good, but it's more than just making it look good. You need to keep that whole drivetrain needs to stay pristine. So you need to have a really good bike hygiene there and clean your chain often and always. And if it's a nasty, terrible ride, you want to like get all that grime and that grit out of there, because that stuff is just going to work itself in there and it's going to cause components to break down and wear out on you sooner. And the last thing you want to do again is say, oh, I'm not going to take these 10 minutes to go wash my bike. Well, you know what? You're going to be spending a lot of money to replace a bunch of parts. Yep. So anyway, what about you, Matt? You got any pro tips for cleaning bikes?
I agree with what you guys said, but I also think like there's almost like two cleanings, right? Where it's almost like the almost every day or not every day, but like kind of after
post-ride
kind of things versus like the deep clean. So
yeah,
I square away time for like, oh, I'm going to take the wheels off. I'm going to, you know, go through and clean it versus the, this just needs to be a quick wipe down.
Well, if I finish a really nasty, gritty, muddy ride, I try to wash my bike off immediately.
Yeah.
It's usually the last thing I want to do. I finish the ride. I want to get my wet clothes off and get in something dry and warm. But
if the weather's decent, though, it's like, oh, I can stand in the sun and I can be half dressed and right, cause you're going to get sprayed. You're going to get wet or whatever it is. And it's not bad if you're in your gear, like you're already set up.
But yeah, I just find that it's just quicker to get those big chunks of mud off while they're still wet and not so crusty on there. But
Yeah. So yeah. So I think,
And pressure washers are okay to use. You just don't want to get super close to your bearings right, with the pressure washer.
And so I also think like the direction of the water is kind of something where like if you're kind of like shooting up at the bearings, it's probably going to get water in there versus like I feel like things are, if you're shooting down at stuff, like everything's kind of designed to drain away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
But bearings in your wheel hubs. Yep. You've got bearings in your crank and you've got bearings around your headset. So those are the ones you got to be careful of not to pressure wash into.
Yeah.
Everything else you
Yeah. So I don't know. I think on the chain side of things, maybe a little bit more regularly than the rest of the bike for me personally. And then I found that waxing the bike chain seems to be so much cleaner.
Mm-hmm. It is.
For the most part, I've noticed that like your chain just, you get less chain marks and stuff on you and everywhere else. It's just,
it's faster too. Yeah.
It's faster. Yeah. It just seems from a cleanliness and a chain holding up, I think you're going to get more life out of your chain as well. So
chain waxing is a whole nother podcast. That's a whole nother topic.
We should have a podcast where we just like are waxing some chains and like that's part of the podcast. Like we're doing the waxing. What's the company? Silka?
Silka came out with this whole system that has made it super slick.
Did you pick one of those up?
I don't have one, but we have one at the shop.
Is it like the thing with the pink tray? Or is it pink or whatever? It's got like
we actually have that on the way.
Oh, you do?
We've got a whole other system that we're using. It's a little bit more industrial-esque, if you will. So, should be fun.
Is there like a dialed Cycling Lab chain waxing service?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Just rolled that out, yep.
Did you?
Yeah, nice. About a month or so ago.
You should have mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah. Well,
people know.
There's a dialed cycling chain waxing service.
There you go.
Nice.
The Dialed Cycling Lab.
Very cool.
You're just like waxing your old mustache.
I bring on my old mustache wax and it just goes right.
What was it? There was fisticuffs or something that we got you for your birthday or something.
Fisticuffs and death grip.
All right, a couple other things real quick. Not necessarily something you want to clean, but some hygiene there is always a good thing, is your saddlebag. If you're using a saddlebag, those things will...
Grundle. I thought that was good. Saddlebag?
Those things can actually take on, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, if you're riding outside in the elements, they will take on quite a bit of water. And if you don't check that thing often, or if you don't clean that thing out, like you'd be amazed at how much soot can make its way in there.
Yep.
But all of the water that gets in there, you want to make sure that your tools... You're maintaining those. They should have a layer of some sort of plastic, not a grease on there, but there's stuff that you can put on them that's anti-corrosive and won't rust and all that other stuff. Otherwise, you might go out there to use your stuff and it's going to be encrusted in rust and grime, and you're not going to be able to open it up to get your Allen key out that you need to do whatever. I mean, it's just one of those things that you need to take care of that stuff as well. And it's good to just take inventory of what you got in there and make
just
sure that
the location of it is just taking the brunt of spray of water.
The zippers go bad too.
And
they get too much grime in them and the zippers quit working. So
have you been out on the road before and tried to unzip a bag and it just doesn't want to go, and the next thing you know, the little gripper thing that you hold onto, the unzip, it breaks off. And you're like, son of a biscuit eater. And then you're chewing on it, trying to tear it open to get your parts out. Sorry, it happened once.
And then you just take everything out and chuck it in the ditch. Put all your flats. I don't chuck it in the ditch.
You guys are not really using saddlebags as much anymore, are you?
Not so much. I actually converted to one of the little muck-off pouches.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Makes an excellent
same
too.
Thing. Yeah. I am not using a saddlebag.
It's
I haven't.
So nice just to be able to have one bag that goes with me everywhere, and I can use it on any bike at any point in time, and it's just super convenient, and I don't mind throwing it in my jersey, and that's fine.
Yeah, I've just put mine in my jersey. I'm even racing with that instead of a saddlebag. I just have to remember to put the right tube into the bag, because I use my gravel bike, my road bike, my mountain bike, and they all have different emergency tubes.
So, okay.
You can't find a tube that kind of works for all of them. I mean, technically, it's supposed to be within a certain millimeter range, but you can kind of fudge that a little bit.
In a pinch, it works. Yeah. Now with my gravel bike, I don't have to worry about it, because...
You could almost have three of those little kits and just have one for each...
For each one.
For each ride.
But then you have to have a CO2 for each one, and a
CO2 pump. Is no problem.
Well, a CO2 inflator and a mini pump for each one.
And money for each
and
one.
And money for each one.
Tire levers. And
and quick links for each one. And coin batteries for each one.
Yeah, but if you think about it, then a lot of that stuff you're eventually replacing, right?
Don't try to talk sense to me, Matt.
My bad.
Make it make sense, because that does make sense. Yeah. It's just more money.
Now, the last thing, you guys might have something out there. I don't know if you can necessarily clean this all that well, but change it out ever so often. Your bar tape.
Oh,
that stuff can get pretty stinking nasty.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Change that out a little bit, because just think about how much grime and crap you're working into that thing, and then your sweat from your hands. And have you ever met? Did you sniff your bar tape this morning with the other nostril?
I did. Yeah. I did. I tasted the bar tape, and it tasted it tasted a little off. I think I'm going to give it a couple more weeks to let it ripen up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Touch of salt on the side. Anything else that you guys can think of that needs to be cleaned in the cycling world?
Your taint.
Your taint. Good old your taint, Thomas. He needs a shower.
He needs a hose down.
You're best friends with him.
Yeah, we're tight.
That's how you call him, your taint. He's a nickname. Buddies only.
All right. I think that's enough on that topic. Good?
Yep, good.
All right, moving on. All right, let's do our one last thing. Matt LeGrand always goes first.
I'm going to try to put out a video talking about the Mike Myers time trial that just happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to say. Probably just talk a little bit about it, just so people that are out there have that in the back of their mind and they know that it's early March and they could consider coming to the race. Probably a short video for that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the Apple Vision Pro goggles in the near future. And then I have a ton of products that are just kind of in the office that need reviewing. Not a lot of bike stuff. There's like a swim paddle thing, like power meter for swimming, which is actually very cool. And actually, I guess this one is for cycling. It's a little sensor that you can wear on your thigh, and it measures your blood oxygen saturation kind of stuff. Uh-huh. But it's actually measuring more than that. It's actually measuring the muscle nitrous oxide and the oxygen consumption of the muscle. So, but it's using the same kind of technology as an optical heart rate monitor on the back of your watch would. So it's interesting. And I'm not exactly sure if I'll even get to a full review for this thing because you can't have that information kick up to your Garmin Connect, like Garmin head unit. And you kind of have to have your smartphone and stuff like that. And I kind of kept asking questions like, well, how much, you know, what about the memory on this thing? Like, can you leave it and have it collect memory and then download it later? And they're like, no, you know, so she's like, well, then you have to have your phone and it has to be open while you're using it. Like a lot of stuff I'm looking at, I'm like, this doesn't add up. And I know it's a good company. I know they do good stuff, but it's just like, oh, I don't know what I think about that. And I don't think it would be a super
sounds like they need a
review.
Software developer to help them out with some stuff.
No, I don't know. They should definitely consider Garmin Connect if they want to look at cyclists.
Oh yeah.
For sure. And I saw, you know, I've talked to the CEO and I've talked to like their lead, like marketing people. And it's like, I just tried to like, well, here's the questions that you're basically answering no to. Like, that's almost the same sheet, like turn that around and be like, these are the things that we need to do before it's a viable product.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea, right? Like training based on that as opposed to like heart rate.
Sure. Going back to those Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah.
You mentioned this, and like I'm like, maybe, but I've seen a ton of people talking about them sending them back or returning them. Any updates or numbers on that? Like, I know that they...
No, I don't think they published
really well
them.
...coming out of the gates, but I mean, it sounds like a lot of people like, yeah, this is great, but I'm going
to
take them back.
It kind of looked to me like 30% or so were returning them, but it's hard. Who knows? I don't think Apple's going to release those numbers. So it looked like a massive return from people, but... They also sold more than they thought they would, too. And so I do think they're probably doing okay with the product. It seems like a slow... It does not seem like a hit product, right? Where it's not like they're selling the iPhone and everybody needs this.
Yeah.
It seems like a very slow start to a product that might be good 10 years from now. Yeah. Like
well, it's kind of the way that the iPad was a little bit. Like, there's
maybe.
It was a lot better received than they thought it was, but the numbers weren't crazy, but the people loved it, and then they knew that they had some things that they had to do to it to make it better, and they've done that over the course of time. So I'm kind of wondering if it'll be the same thing with those, or...
Rumors are that the next version is going to be $2,000 less. So
oh,
that's
wow.
Like more than I was expecting. So if it's in that $1,500 range, and I hear rumors of a Apple Vision Air, like is the naming of it, so like lighter weight, and so... Again, for that price point, they're probably going to take some shortcuts on like materials used in the device. But then I don't think they can really take that many shortcuts on the software side of things. I don't know how they would.
Yeah,
they could maybe like have worse battery life, but that would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm guessing it'll be if they rush that product, which is the rumors that they're kind of rushing this, you know, this next edition of it, then that would be a year from now, not anytime soon. But we'll see.
Still using it, or at least trying to on a daily basis?
That was the goal, and it's still kind of the goal to try to use it each day. But I mean, I don't think like...
Do you get excited to put them on, excited to use them, or do you feel like you're like forcing yourself to do this?
No, I don't get excited to put them on, and I don't, it's more, I guess it's more of like I'm putting this on as, I don't have a good reason to put it on.
It's almost like a chore. Like you feel obligated to do this because you're trying to figure it out and trying to give like an honest review.
And that's the situation now. It's like I'm putting it on because I need to like try to do something, whether it's like try to program for it or try to check some specs on some things for reviewing it and things like that. But it's not like I want to put it on to get work done. I will say it does. I went to Corvallis for a swim meet, of course. Always traveling for swim stuff. But when I'm traveling, it's a great product because, you know, you have your laptop or whatever it is, and you can have a 4K monitor that's, I mean, I say 4K in quotes because it's not exactly 4K, but like you can have a very nice monitor, and you also have some privacy too, because your screen's not showing to anyone. Your laptop goes blank. And there's rumors that they're going to go from only having the one screen to having five screens in there. And then at that point, you're like, okay, well now it's a viable product, because at this point it's a productivity thing and people will pay for a productivity enhancement. Yeah. But people are not going to pay for a productivity dehancement, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'll do a 100-day review on it for sure. And I'll have I'll probably post, you know, two or three videos talking about it. And I don't think that many people are that interested in it at this point, but we'll see.
There's curiosity there.
It's an interesting product.
Yeah.
I might post a video about Zwifting with it.
Oh, well.
Because I've Zwifted with it a couple of times.
And?
That's interesting.
It is. It's super interesting. And they're, the way I look at it is like, oh, wow, this is the best Zwifting experience by far that I've ever had.
Hmm.
But it also, for me, fogged up and...
Yeah. Oh, really?
And you also are sweating in it. And so I max out at like 20, 30 minutes or so. And I'm like, I don't want to sweat in this thing because I'm trying to take care of it.
Yeah.
So the reason it's fantastic is for one, like you're Zwifting and you can put the screen anywhere you want to. So you can shift it down. Anywhere you want that screen to be, you can have it. And you can make the screen, you know, roughly the size of this like white paper. Jake has some, like a backdrop for back here for photography stuff. You can make it that big easily or bigger.
Wow.
And it's just so, and it's gorgeous. The other thing that I find awesome is, when I'm, you know, on the bike and on the TT bike and things like that, like my arms are kind of occupied or they're doing stuff. And so reaching out to even give yourself a power up or a thumbs up or anything like that is a bit of a pain. But if you think about it, like this motion where you're just like tapping your fingers together and the cameras are looking at your fingers to actually perform that click, so easy.
I was going to ask, when I used to ride a lot,
you spend a lot of time.
Spend a lot of time on Zwift and you spend a lot of time riding. And a lot of times I was trying to multitask and to do things on the computer at the same time as riding. That was a huge pain in the butt. That was not easy by any means at all. And to like be able to type and do all this stuff, I can imagine that it's probably still a challenge when you're on there, but
you could reply to text messages and things like that. I've done that before inside Zwift. And you can open up, I've opened up, I know Netflix doesn't have an app specifically for the Apple Vision Pro, but I built one, which is basically just like a shelled out version of Netflix. So you can bring up like multiple screens. You can have, it's really easy. Like you could have your email, you could have your text messages, you could have, some movie that you're watching, and you could have those like angled almost like a V formation. So if you want Zwift kind of below the handlebars, you could, and then a movie right on top of it. And so you can put things anywhere you want to. So in a lot of ways it's like, oh wow, this is the best Zwifting experience that you can possibly come up with, except for after a little while I was getting fogging and I was getting like sweat on the device. And so
riding fans and all that other stuff, I'm sure.
I tried to angle the fan so that the air would go into the goggles and try to like defog, but it's you've got a good seal going. And it's awkward because you've got a cord from your glasses down to the battery pack, which I put in the water bottle holder on my TT bike. So it's kind of like right there. And so it's, and then you got to remember, like, really be careful if you're getting, if you do happen to get on or off the bike, like you could pull those things off and then it's going to destroy this thing on the cement floor in my garage.
Yeah.
But it's super interesting. And it's interesting because like Ray was like, yeah, I didn't have any fogging issues or any problems. I'm like, oh, I am definitely having those issues. So it's not necessarily something that I would recommend, although it is like one of the best Zwifting experiences. Yeah. So
probably not worth the price tag, but still, if you have one, that's probably a really good application for it.
It would be great if it was like, if we could get like a little bit of a fan, like moving some air up and away from your eyes. It's like, it could, if someone came up with like that product and they were like, but we're going to have it be for activity and stuff and we need to move like sweat away and move some air through here. Like they could do it. It could be amazing.
Very cool.
Very interesting.
That was a good, One last thing.
I
wanted to know. Lance Appler, you got one last thing for us?
Our mountain bike race series starts here in the Oregon area this weekend with Ooh. Echo Red to Red out in Echo, Oregon, about 3 hours here from the Portland area.
You can do it?
I am going to do it. There's a mountain bike race on Saturday and a brand new gravel race on Sunday called Real West Gravel in Pendleton, Oregon.
You can do both of those?
I'm going to do both those.
Yeah. When are you getting back in the van and going wherever?
No time. Not for a while.
You're going to be back for a while.
I'm here because our racing starts here, so I'm going to stick
Life
around.
Life is good.
Yeah, so it's
Life
all good.
Life is good here.
The Echo Red to Red, there's almost 500 people that have registered.
Wow. So, do they have a max?
I don't know if they have a max. I was just looking at my field, and there's almost 70 people in the 50
good
to 59
for them.
Field.
Get your butt kicked.
I'm going to get my butt kicked again.
Eric's been doing a good job.
Yeah.
He's coming into his own, and it seems like every year he learns a little bit more.
Brian
Simiotti, sorry. Did I say Eric?
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know where that came from. Sorry, Brian. I know better than that. But anyhow, it's fun to watch somebody put like a lot of energy into something and to see the returns come. That is fantastic. Yeah. And to see those numbers, good on you, man.
Yeah, I was that's shocked to see how many people have registered.
Fun little race. It's been a minute since I've done it, so I was hoping to do the whole mountain bike series this year, but... Next year.
We're not there yet.
Next year. Damn it. I'm tired of saying
But
next
things
year.
Are going better for you? You want to backpedal?
Is that are you?
I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, my one last thing is I am going in to see the doc tomorrow. So this is the first of probably a few visits that I get to go see. I had my initial visit with him and we kind of did the whole troubleshooting thing. And now we're going to start the process of actually starting to dig in and find out what's going on. So tomorrow is going to be an ultrasound and likely some ultrasound guided injections. And then he's... When we last talked,
I've done that on my Achilles.
Yeah.
Yee.
Yeah. And then
pleasant, but
probably going to go in for another MRI, but a contrast MRI this time based on what he was saying in the last visit. Okay. But we'll see what he says. It's all speculative at this juncture. But I'm really looking forward to working with somebody who is invested, that is like a natural troubleshooter, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that he can kind of get to the bottom of this because this has been a bunch of horse crap, and yes. I am ready for it to be done because I need to get back to riding bikes because this is killing me.
Yeah. So, let's hope this helps.
Tired of being a gym rat. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll have some more information on that next time.
And then we're going biking next weekend or what?
I think so. Actually, I'm supposed to, before I go into my doctor's appointment, he wants me to ride.
Oh, really?
He wants to see how it inflames.
When's your doctor's appointment?
Tomorrow. I got to drive all the way down to Lake Oswego for an appointment at, I think it's like 12 or 1 o'clock, so I'll do a ride.
In the morning?
In the morning, 9, 10 o'clock or something like that, and just see how that kind of floats with me. So
okay.
Should be interesting. So,
all right. You're going to ride indoors?
Yeah, probably just on the trainer. I think the weather's still going to be crappy tomorrow, so I'll...
Not great.
Okay. Stick to the controlled environment. I don't even know what the condition of my bikes are. I think the last time I rode was with you for like half an hour.
It didn't go well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's probably Mother Nature telling me to stay inside. Cool. All right. Anything else, guys?
That's it.
Sweet. It's good having you back, Lance.
Thank you. It is good having you back.
Right on.
Now I miss you guys.
Cool. All right, we will be back next week with another one of these. And until then, bye for now.
I'm also thinking about getting a gun, dealing crack, being a crack dealer. But not like a mean crack dealer, but like, you know, like a nice one. It's kind of friendly, like, hey, what's up, guys? You want some crack?